Pitch rocked to left center field. Long, high, deep drive. Way back goes Cabrera. Looks up there. She goes. A mammoth three-run home run by Yunel Escobar.
There's your play of the game, brought to you by Rogers On Demand. Watch the Jays live from anywhere, online or on the go, at RogersOnDemand.com. Yunel Escobar, who got the 2 days off in a row to get his head straight, goes 2-for-4 today with that mammoth three-run homer, his 11th of the season, finally getting the Blue Jays on the board against Bruce Chen in the top of the sixth inning. Chen had faced the minimum through five, allowing just one single, and the Jays, who had scored a grand total of two runs in their last three games, got three with one swing of the bat, but they could not complete the comeback, and they fall to the Kansas City Royals by a score of 6-3. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Jays Talk. We're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Talking about this afternoon's trade that sent Aaron Hill and John McDonald to the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are now my favorite team in the National League. I don't know about the rest of you. In exchange for Kelly Johnson, the D-backs, by the way, snapped a six-game losing streak tonight. They beat the Washington Nationals by a score of 2-0. A seventh-inning two-run homer by Sean Burrows. His first home run in the Major League since 2005 gave the D-backs the win as Ian Kennedy, David Hernandez, and J.J. Putz combined on the shutout. Today, Willie Bloomquist was leading off for the Diamondbacks and playing shortstop, and Ryan Roberts, the former Blue Jay, was playing second base. Tomorrow, one assumes Aaron Hill and John McDonald will be playing up the middle. Tom Young informs me that I said the final score was 6-3. It was not. It was 6-4. The Jays did tack on a run in the ninth and brought the tying run to the plate. But Edwin Encarnacion popped up. And then Mark Tian, curiously pinch hitting for Colby Rasmus, struck out on three pitches to end the game. We are trying to find out what the deal is with Colby Rasmus. One assumes something must have been bothering him for him not to be able to answer the bell for that at bat. Tian had one career at bat against Joaquin Soria, and it had not gone well. So certainly wasn't any reason for him to pinch hit there. As soon as we get any word, we will pass that along to you. I did mention that Casey Jansen has the most consecutive service with the Blue Jays now with the departure of John McDonald and Aaron Hill. Dustin McGowan really is the longest-serving Blue Jay, but he's been on the disabled list for the better part of 2.5 years. So I was only talking about people who are on the active roster. And just as we mentioned that, we get the information from the Blue Jays, Mal Romanen. Colby Rasmus jammed his right wrist, and it may have happened when he went into the wall to make a catch. And we're looking at the video now, you could see that he chased down a ball at the wall and then kind of went, when he braced himself against it, put his glove behind his back after that. So he jammed right wrist by Colby Rasmus, and that is why he could not answer the bell in the ninth inning. And Mark Tian had to pinch hit. To the phones we go, and we're going to start with Mike in Milverton. Welcome to the Jays Talk, Mike.
How are you today?
I am well, thank you.
Good. First of all, I don't think there's going to be any denying the fact that these are just two class individuals who are leaving Toronto. But I guess something that really has me really dumbfounded is that as long as I've been watching sports, I don't think that I've ever seen more of an observed press conference when you had two guys on each side talking about next year, talking about, I'd really like to come back to Toronto, and, you know, we've even talked about us coming back. I mean, these players are no longer members of the Toronto Blue Jays. Is this not even tampering somehow? Even AA was talking about it, saying, we've talked about them coming back. We need a shortstop next year. We need a second baseman. Was this not a strange press conference that that we listened to today?
It definitely was a strange press conference. There's no question about that. It was weird in that the Blue Jays had traded for Kelly Johnson, and Kelly Johnson was barely mentioned for the entire news conference. It was strange, like you say, in that both Hill and McDonald said this isn't the end, this is not over, and John McDonald all but said he was going to come back and play for the Blue Jays next year. But I think that's just a testament to the people, to Hill and McDonald, and how much they're going to be missed. And as far as the whole tampering thing goes, it was the players who brought it up, so players can't tamper.
But Alex Exaltopoulos said it. He was first to say it. He said, "We've talked about them coming back next year. I've talked with John McDonald.
You're allowed to do that while they're still under contract with you."
Well, this is but when they get traded, aren't they? Don't they become property of Arizona?
Well, yeah, but he was. But you know what? I don't want to get into this whole. I mean, that's just people trying to find something to complain about. And
no, I'm not complaining. I understand. The whole press conference was weird.
It was weird, but to say we've talked about it in the past tense, there's nothing wrong with that, because who knows? The trade was announced at 3:32. If they say it at 3:31, hey, you want to come back next year? Hey, sure, I'll think about it. There's no tampering there. So I have no issue with that. But you're right, Mike, in the overall very weird news conference, to be sure. Dave is in Innisfil. Hey, Dave.
Mike, I just want to talk about the couple of memories that I have of Eric.
Please.
And Johnny Mack, Johnny Mack's home run on Father's Day after his father passed away, probably the one moment that, besides, I guess, Carter's home run, and Alomar's, of course, is probably one of the best home runs I've ever seen hit in a Jays uniform.
I think it's fair to say that is the Blue Jays' highlight of the 21st century.
I would have to agree. The other thing I wanted to talk about is, I know Aaron Hill had a bad average last year, but I was at a couple of the games where he came in clutch in the extra innings against the Yankees, where he knocked in Encarnacion in the 14th inning there. And you know what? As much as he may have a problem with batting for average, it just seemed like he was always there when we needed the key RBI. And I think, you know, if he can just get over the fact that whether he wants to decide whether to be a power hitter or average hitter, once he decides that, I think, you know what, he'll find his zone. And I'm kind of hoping he comes back, because those are the two Jays that I've been watching for years and years. And I saw Lynn turn it around, and I wanted to see Aaron Hill turn it around, and he couldn't quite do it this season, but I think he'll be able to do it next season.
You know what, I really hope the fresh start does Aaron Hill a world of good.
To see him in the playoffs would be, you know what, I've been watching the franchise thing on HBO with the Giants, and I became a closet Giants fan because I figured, okay, the Jays are going to make the playoffs, so I got to cheer for somebody in the playoffs. But now that Aaron Hill and John Hicker are Diamondbacks, I'm going to be cheering for Arizona, and I hope that they can get a taste of what they couldn't get here yet, and hopefully they come back, bring that experience, and we move on.
Yeah, you know what, and I'm with you. I'm going to be cheering for the Diamondbacks as well, and hoping to see them to succeed. And it really is an amazing thing when you look at Arizona. There is a very good chance that their starting infield will be all former Blue Jays, with Lyle Overbay at first, Aaron Hill at second, John McDonald at short, and Ryan Roberts at third base. And how cool would that be to see?
But as I say, you need the rest of the team, and we're building there, and it won't be long. So.
No, absolutely, and there's a chance that they're both a part of it still when it happens. Thank you for the call. We are going to extendo the Jays talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, and on fan590.com all the way to 11 o'clock Eastern. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. If you're not, get on hold and give us a call at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. When the Jays talk continues, we will hear from John Farrell, and we'll take a look at the scoreboard. It is the Honda Post Game Show on the Blue Jays Radio Network.
McDonald up, hits one deep to left field. That's heading for the wall. That's up, up, and there she goes! John McDonald! A home run for his dad on Father's Day. And as he rounded first base, he clenched his fist and threw it in the air. Well, how about that? That's a home run for his dad who just passed away. And they're on their feet here as they should be at the Rogers Center.
On their feet with tears in their eyes. And as John McDonald got back into the dugout, he had to go into the clubhouse so no one would see him crying. And it gives me chills now even just listening to that. John McDonald's Father's Day home run last year. His first game back after burying his father. Wasn't even in the lineup. Came in late in the blowout and hit that ball out of the park. John McDonald, an Arizona Diamondback today, traded with Aaron Hill for Kelly Johnson. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Extendo Jays Talk. We're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Diamondbacks needed a shortstop because Willie Bloomquist is playing for them now that Stephen Drew is hurt. And they came to the Jays about John McDonald, and eventually it became the two-for-one. McDonald, a veteran with 10-5 rights, 10 years in the major leagues, the last five or more with the same team, had the ability to veto the trade if he wanted to, but he's going to a pennant race, playing on a team that is now a game and a half up in the National League West, a chance to be two games up after tonight, and all but said he would be coming back as a free agent. And the Blue Jays will have an eye on Aaron Hill as well, towards perhaps bringing him back as he hits free agency in the offseason. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will hear from John Farrell in a minute, but given that we just played that Johnny Mac home run, I think it's only fair to get back to the phones for a little bit. Let's go to John in Toronto. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What do you think of the trade?
Well, I have two questions. One question has nothing to do with the trade, and I'll ask it first. Is on the drafting of Tyler Beattie, if they knew that they're, or I'm not sure if they knew, but if everyone in baseball was saying that he was going to college. That's the first question. The second question is on the John McDonald trade.
Wasn't a question.
Well, the question is why the Blue Jays would draft him if they knew there was an extremely good chance that he wasn't going to sign.
Because the same thing happened with Daniel Norris. Everyone in the world thought that Daniel Norris was going to college and demanding $4 million to forego college. Daniel Norris, who was the best high school lefty in that draft, fell all the way to, 79th, where the Blue Jays took him? And they signed him for $2 million.
Right. I guess the question on the Aaron Hill and John McDonald thing is, if they're saying that they're coming back and all that, then why would they make the trade? Because if they'd be bringing them back, I believe that Kelly Johnson is a free agent anyhow.
Yes.
So if he's a free agent, then, and Aaron Hill, there's a possibility he's coming back, then why in the world would they make the trade? Unless they're thinking that it gives Aaron Hill and John McDonald, experience in a pennant race. Because besides that, I don't really see any point of the trade.
Well, I think the point is twofold. One, to give John McDonald a chance in a pennant race, and Aaron Hill with him as well. But I think the Blue Jays want to bring John McDonald back, and he means more to this team than he does to any other team in the major leagues, even if the Diamondbacks win the World Series. But I don't know what the deal is with Aaron Hill, and neither do the Blue Jays. And the Blue Jays would like to get a look at Kelly Johnson. They're considering bringing him here to be the second baseman next year. And now instead of dealing with him from a free agent aspect, you get to see him for 6 weeks and see how he fits in with the club, see what kind of person he is, see what kind of ball player he is, instead of just relying on your scout reports. And if Kelly Johnson should catch fire over the next 5 weeks and play himself into type A free agency, you don't have to give up a high draft pick to sign him. So I think those are the reasons they made the deal.
Hello?
Yeah.
Is he a type B free agent right now?
As far as the reverse engineered Elias rankings educated guesses go, yes. Both Kelly Johnson and Aaron Hill are type B free agents right now.
Now, just out of curiosity, I think that Alex Gonzalez was saying a week ago that Aaron Hill was a guy that they want to keep and all that, and he traded him now. And I think he said the same thing about Travis Snyder a week ago with Jeff Blair. He said that he doesn't need to change the scenery. And he's a guy that we want in our long term. And I'm just curious to know if he said the same thing about Aaron Hill and how we traded him.
He didn't say the same thing about Aaron Hill. What he said about Aaron Hill, he brought up a guy like Jose Bautista, who saved his Blue Jays career with his big September in 2009, and Edwin Encarnacion, who was a candidate for release before the end of June, and he started to play well. What he said was that if Aaron Hill has a big last 2 months of the season, then they would consider bringing him back. A very, very different thing with Travis Snyder.
Do you think that he's back next year?
Aaron Hill?
Yeah.
I think there's a chance that he's back next year. I think it's far from a guarantee.
Sure. Okay, fine.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. Tony is in London. Tony.
Oh, Mike.
Oh.
I think it was Alan Ashby's first year as a broadcaster in 2007, and John McDonough got a chance to play every day at shortstop, and practically every game there was a highlight play made by John McDonough. And Ashby enthused that throughout his career as a player, a broadcaster, and I think it was minor league manager, it was the best defense he ever saw at shortstop. And I was just hoping that McDonald would have won the Gold Glove that year, but I think Orlando Cabrera got it with the Angels. And also, I like to see Aaron Hill come back, but let's give Kelly Johnson a chance. And of Johnson, what kind of a second baseman is he? I mean, what is the book on him? Being over in the National League, we're really not familiar with him.
He's a left-handed hitter who's got power. He's having a terrible year this year, hitting .205 with a .280 on base, but he still hit 16 or 17 home runs. He can steal a base. His defense has not been as good as Aaron Hill's has, but even in his bad years, he'll still walk a bunch and manage to find his way on base at a higher level than Hill. His best year was not as good as Aaron Hill's best year, but he's kind of been in between. He's had some very, very good offensive seasons, and he's had some okay offensive seasons. But he's a left-handed bat who walks with some power.
And so, he fit in the lineup at the bottom of the lineup?
He will probably hit eighth when he gets here, but he could, he's a guy who, if he gets things turned around, he could hit second. He hit third for a good Arizona team. When he's good, he's very good. And when he's bad, he's not as bad as Aaron Hill's been the last couple of years.
In tonight's game, Mike, as you pointed out, the highlight was Carreño's, he's called long relief.
Yeah, it was long relief.
I thought it was odd that you would recall a starter from AA and put him in the bullpen. Is this just to get him a look at him, or is he going to get a chance to start in September?
I don't think he's going to get a chance to start in September because you've got McGowan and you've got probably Kyle Drabek, who are going to be fighting for what may be very few opportunities to get into the rotation. But, they did the same thing with Luis Perez. This was a minor league starter that they brought up and they used out of the bullpen, and they were very impressed with what they got from Luis Perez out of the bullpen. So, and now he's in the rotation. And the same thing may very well happen with Carreño. This is a chance for them to look at him and see what they've got and see what they do with him, whether he can be a contender for a rotation spot next year with Drabek and Alvarez and Luis Perez and Carlos Villanueva and maybe Jesse Litch, or whether he's a guy that they kind of want to make into a bullpen arm because there are going to be a lot of holes in that bullpen for next season.
Well, there already are this year.
Yeah, there are.
And Alvarez, how deep into September will he start? Or are they going to shut him down?
No, he should be good to go all season long. This isn't a guy who has been, bounced from rotation to bullpen to bullpen to rotation. And this is a guy who's got some innings, he should be fine in starting for the rest of the season. Thank you, Tony. I got to go because we're up against the clock, and I appreciate the time, the call, as always. We will hear from John Farrell on the other side of the update. I'm going to say it's going to be Andrew Nye with the update, as Joe Sicilia just confirms for me. And we do not want to keep Andrew Nye waiting, but we also don't want to get to him too early. So I'll just remind you, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And, of course, we keep an eye on the Twitter, at Wilderness590 as well. John Farrell, more of your phone calls on the other side. It is Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hill lines one deep to left field. Long, high, towering drive. Up it goes, and there she goes.
And that was 1 week ago, last Tuesday in Seattle, first inning. Aaron Hill's last home run as a Blue Jay, the two-run shot that made it 6-0 Jays at the time. Brad Mills would hand that lead right back, and it would be 6-6 after three, but the Jays went on to win it 13-7. Aaron Hill had four RBIs that night. He also had an RBI double and a sacrifice fly, and he is now an Arizona Diamondback, along with John McDonald and Lyle Overbay, it should be mentioned. And the Blue Jays lost today 6-4. To the Kansas City Royals. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Extendo Jays Talk. We're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Our intrepid reporter, David Alter, is here, and a huge mazel tov to him as he just handed me the two foul balls that he caught during the game. Now, did you actually catch them? No, they were rolling around.
Yes, the other bounced and then rolled into the garbage can.
So he didn't catch him on the fly, but they both count. I have caught one. And, in fact, I was sitting back when I was working on the other side, up the dial for our friends at 680 News, and I had an empty cup on the ledge, and the ball landed right in it.
No.
The foul ball landed right in the cup and destroyed it into a bazillion pieces. And I went back and picked it up in the hallway. But a mazel tov to David Alter on his two foul balls, what he caught at the game today. We are taking your phone calls here at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. But before we get to the next call, and we do have, I think, two lines open if you want to try to sneak in, let's listen in on what the manager had to say. Here's John Farrell's postgame.
Tonight, Brandon had good stuff. I think it was a matter of location more than anything. Very good hitting team, young, athletic, good fastball hitting group. That when he missed with his location, particularly up out over the plate, they did what they're supposed to do with it. You know, we get behind 6-0. It's good to see Yunel come back off the road trip and swing the bat like he's capable and like we've seen. But I thought overall Chen did a very good job of keeping us out on our front foot, really disrupted our timing quite a bit with big curveball, a little bit of a cutter, and stayed out of the middle of the plate. On a bright note, I thought Yoel Correa threw the ball very good in his debut, giving us 3 1/3 of quality innings and give us an opportunity to get back in the ballgame. But the 6-run deficit obviously proved to be a little bit too much.
John, when you make a trade as you did today and it affects the clubhouse and the buzz and that sort of thing, do you think that has any effect on how guys go about their business throughout the game?
Well, certainly before the game. You know, there's a number of conversations that take place in the clubhouse. Both guys have been here quite a while. Both have been extremely well respected, very big character type of players, and I think anytime you go through a trade, there's some residual, there's some uncertainty, unsettling, if you will, but once the first pitch is thrown, it's our job to go out and compete and execute as we set out to do. You know, tonight's performance wasn't the result of a trade. It was mislocation for the most part.
John, Brendan Morrow seemed to be, he's got some good games and then he's got some maybe not so good games. What do you see in his inconsistency, and is it a mechanics thing, or as you mentioned tonight, is it just location and he's not that far off?
It's location, as I stated. You know, he used all four pitches. He threw all four pitches for strikes at times. There were times they didn't let him get in the count with some early swings, slider away to Francoeur, a 1-2 fastball that, you know, he tried to go in and sink the ball down in on Butler. They ended up for a home run. I thought Hosmer did a very good job staying on a 2-2 fastball for the first run of the game, squared the ball up to left center field. You know, their numbers that they put up are there for a reason. They've got an idea what they're doing at the plate. They've got a very clear and succinct two-strike approach. And they did what they were supposed to do with pitches that are up out over the plate.
So there's John Farrell with talking about tonight's game, a 6-4 loss for the Blue Jays to the Kansas City Royals. Our intrepid reporter David Alter tells us that Brandon Morrow respectfully declined to speak to the media after the game. Morrow gave up 6 runs on 11 hits over 4 2/3 innings, walking one and striking out 5. He gave up a couple of home runs, and the Royals hit for the cycle off of him in the 5th inning. The Blue Jays almost came up off the mat and tied the game, but couldn't finish the job. Colby Rasmus, with a jammed right wrist, could not answer the bell in the 9th inning, and Mark Tian had to pinch hit with 2 out and a runner on first and he struck out on three pitches. The trade, of course, the big news of the day, Aaron Hill and John McDonald off to Arizona in exchange for Kelly Johnson. Johnson will not be in the starting lineup tomorrow because he's expected to arrive in Toronto at about 6 o'clock. He was in Washington with the Diamondbacks, had to fly back to Arizona to pick up his passport so he could come here. And so he may get in the game, but he won't get in the starting lineup tomorrow for the Jays. Unless, I don't know, if Colby Rasmus can't go, Mike McCoy has to play center field, then either you're starting Mark Tian at second or Jose Bautista at second and Mark Tian in right field. Not quite sure how that's going to go. Should mention that the Tigers just beat Tampa Bay 2-1. An epic bottom of the ninth inning in which Jim Leland intentionally walked the winning run so that Phil Koch could face Ben Zobrist. And after Zobrist fouled off 5 2-strike pitches, he finally grounded out to first to end the game. Tigers over the Rays 2-1. Let's get back to your phone calls here on the Extendo Jays Talk. Damien is in Toronto. Hey, Damien.
Hey, hi. I just wanted to discuss about the trade with Aaron Hill and John McDonald.
Yeah.
I'm happy for them. I think that is good that they're going to Arizona. But however, I feel like we should just leave that in the past and let them go enjoy a pennant race or whatnot. But I feel it would be more meaningful if, as a fan, if I saw them bringing us to the postseason or helping us get to win the pennant or something like that, right? I don't see it as a big deal. Like, it's good. There were memories, but they didn't help us. They didn't bring us to the postseason. So I think they're getting more credit than they deserve. I'm looking at it in more of a cynical way, but that's just how I feel. And with
I'm sorry that you tend to look at things in a negative way. I don't think that Aaron Hill or John McDonald could have led the Blue Jays to the postseason by themselves, and I don't think that that's something that you should be holding against them by any means.
I'm not.
That's what you just said.
I'm just saying that it's not as they're getting more credit than they deserve. I don't think that they should be like worse.
So you'd be more upset about the Jays trading Candy Maldonado?
No, actually.
Well, they got to the postseason with him.
Yes, and that's good. But you know, if he did a lot for us, then I appreciate that. You know, but I look at it as a team as a whole, right? And if we didn't go to the postseason while they were here, then it's good for them to go to Arizona and get to the postseason with them, where Arizona fans can enjoy their success with Arizona. But as for the Blue Jays, let's just focus on the Blue Jays and what we have to do. Kelly Johnson's coming over here. Let's focus on Johnson, see if he stays out and stacks out to be what he's supposed to be. And hopefully Johnson's here next year because he's going to have a good performance ending this year. That's what I'm hoping.
Well, so, we shall certainly see. Absolutely. That's the Blue Jays' hope. No question about it.
Yeah. And with Brandon Morrow, I think that John Farrell should have took him out when it was 3-0. You can't, you know, there's certain confidence level when it comes to pitchers that, as John Farrell should know, what that's like. And you have to be able to save their ego, save their confidence for another game. That's why there's inconsistency. You can't have a pitcher go have six runs earned against him and then expect for him to come out feeling like he's going to be very good the next game. We're always going to have doubt in him, right? So I feel that John Farrell should have took him out when it was 3-0, say, hey, we're going to win this for you, and it would have been 3-3, tied up, and who knows what would have happened after that.
Well, first of all, there's no way to know, that it would have been 3-3, and who knows what happens after that if it hadn't been 6-0. But two, when do you take him out? As soon as it gets to 3-0 and you lose the next 10 outs that Morrow got without any incident?
Yes. Take the risk.
Okay,
take the risk.
Then no. Appreciate the call, Damien. You don't yank a guy in the second inning when you're down 2-0. Morrow got 10 more outs without incident after the Blue Jays fell behind 3-0, and no reason. No reason to take him out at that point. Mike is in New Brunswick. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, I just have two questions regarding Kelly Johnson.
Yeah.
One, just about the motives of the trade. Do you think it had anything to do with maybe wanting to upgrade defensively as opposed to just offensively?
Nope.
You don't think that had anything to do with it? Or?
Nope.
All right.
And I don't think it was necessarily an upgrade. I think this is my guy who's having a terrible year for your guy who's having a terrible year.
Well, Kelly Johnson is an upgrade. I mean, I was looking on Fangraphs at the UZRs. Kelly Johnson's he's ranked at a 6.1 this year. Aaron Hill's a negative 3.3.
But what was it last year? And what
last
was it the year
Kelly,
before?
Yeah, last year Kelly Johnson was a 7.7. Uh-huh. Aaron Hill was a 4.3.
Oh, that's very interesting. And the year before?
Year before, Aaron Hill was a negative 4.3.
I love that you got it right in front of you, too.
Oh, I'm
because, all prepared. Oh, no, that's fine. But they say that you should only look at UZR over a three-year period, and I'm still not sure I buy it. You know, you look at the fluctuations in it, and I'm not taking UZR as the gospel on defense that so many people do. I've always been under the impression, and I could be wrong, that Aaron Hill is a better defensive second baseman than Kelly Johnson. But regardless, I don't think this is kind of seen as an upgrade. This is seen as taking on another guy who's struggling to see what he's like over 5 weeks and get a look at him over the course of the rest of the season.
I guess his defense will be a little bit easier to judge when we see him, I suppose. But my second question is, where do you see him batting in the lineup, being that he's both a guy with power and a guy who will put up a good on-base percentage over his career?
He's got a .280 on base this year. So, you know, all the numbers will start over at zero for now.
Right.
But he's having a terrible year. So you're not going to put him in an important spot of the lineup, I don't think. I can see him eventually being a guy who's a two-hitter, but I can see that with Rasmus as well. I think he will start as the eight-hitter in this lineup. Now, all bets are off if Rasmus has to miss any significant amount of time, but I think we're going to see Laurie 7, Johnson 8, Aaron Sebia 9, and the rest of the top six staying the same.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, appreciate the call. Steve in Toronto, you're next on the Extendo Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike.
Go ahead.
Okay, so this trade, as I was telling the screener there, I used to be a big Oakland Athletics fan, and I went and saw the Jays play Oakland 1 year, and after watching John McDonald play when he first came to the Jays, it pretty much turned me into a Jay fan. Like, I became a Jays fan. He's my favorite player. I think the positives of this trade are for those two guys going and getting a chance to play and getting a chance to possibly play in the playoffs. I listened to his interview this afternoon, and if there's any seriousness or any truth to the fact that they may bring him back next year and the fact that he said he would like to come back next year after the year's over, then I think it's absolutely something they should look at, because if you're trying to build a team that's going to win a pennant or even a championship, with all these young guys coming up, I think a championship team has to have at least a couple guys like John McDonald. In my opinion, I consider him a very, very similar player to a Paul Molitor. Maybe not as good as Paul Molitor was, but that type of guy in the clubhouse, on the field, teaching the young guys. So I think I would love if it is a true thing that he wants to come back or they want to bring him back. I really, really hope they do. But, you know, for Aaron Hill and him to go off and get some play time like they wouldn't have gotten here with these young guys coming up, it's a good trade. But, you know, being a fan, I had to swallow my heart when I heard about it. But, you know, that's my comment. So.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. And it's a testament to what people think of John McDonald in this city that you're willing to put him in the same sentence as Paul Molitor, because, you know, as ball players, they're not even close. But the truth of the matter is that's how highly people think of John McDonald around here. That's a great testament to Johnny Mac. And you know what? After being in that news conference this afternoon, there is not a shred of doubt in my mind that John McDonald will be a Blue Jay next year. Peter in St. Catharines, go ahead.
So, well, you kind of really answered my question there. So this is more like they're loaning John McDonald to the Diamondbacks, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and Hill to a lesser extent, right?
Well, yeah, he's going to be a free agent after the year unless the Diamondbacks pick up an $8 million or a two-year $16 million option, which is highly unlikely.
Right. Certainly my two favorite memories this year of McDonald, or happened this year, the game in Tampa Bay early in the season I was at where he hit a game-winning extra-inning home run.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in extra innings, and and of course the on the speech at the on Roberto Alomar Day.
Yeah, that was really something, wasn't it?
Yes, that was. That was one of the my favorite memories of John John.
Yeah, John McDonald hit that game-winning walk-off home run off of Adam Russell in the bottom of the 11th inning.
Yep.
That Friday night game against Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that made us all think about the Father's Day home run as well.
Right, oh sure.
Yeah, and you know what? It's Aaron Hill's not getting as much love as I was hoping he would get tonight. He was a great Blue Jay for a long time. Mm-hmm. But John McDonald really did make his mark on this city. And I think it's fair to say that John McDonald is the most popular Blue Jay in the history of the franchise among the people who did not play in the World Series.
He's a candidate for the level of excellence.
Amazingly, you know what? Maybe.
Yeah.
But he'll be back next year, so he's got some more time. Yeah. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays lose 6-4 tonight, but the big news of the day, the trade. John McDonald and Aaron Hill going to the Arizona Diamondbacks, who currently are first by a game and a half in the National League West over the defending World Series champion San Francisco Giants. And San Francisco is losing 3-0 to San Diego right now in the top of the third. I have a feeling that the NL West pennant race is going to take on a much greater significance in Toronto down the stretch. And I mentioned earlier, it is pretty amazing that the Diamondbacks could wind up in the playoffs with an entire former Blue Jay starting infield. Sean in Kitchener. Where's Sean in Kitchener? There was an arrow there. Now there's no arrow anymore. There's Sean in Kitchener. You got 30 seconds. You're the last one. Make it good.
Travis Snyder for Jason Kipnis.
Why would Cleveland do that?
Because Travis Snyder's a highly tethered prospect.
And Jason Kipnis isn't?
I just think they could fill the need in the outfield.
No chance. Thank you, Sean. That's a great way to end it. No, Jason Kipnis is their first rounder who's taken the team by storm and who's hitting now, but he's hurt. There is no chance the Cleveland Indians trade him to the Blue Jays for Travis Snyder. All right, so we will keep an eye on Aaron Hill and John McDonald in their tenure in Arizona that will start tomorrow in Washington. Kelly Johnson should be arriving here. Again, Colby Rasmus coming out late in the game with a jammed right wrist. We hope that he will be able to be in the lineup tomorrow. Otherwise, we're going to see some very creative lineupage by the Blue Jays. And we're back tomorrow at 7. Ricky Romero on the hill for the Jays. Catch us then.